Let me invite you over to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, verse 33.
1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, it says, "Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness, and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. But some men will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne. Lord, we thank you again for the privilege of gathering together in your house as your people. And Lord, knowing that where two or three are gathered together, there are you in the midst. And we thank you, Lord, for your presence. We ask, Lord, for the blessing of your Holy Spirit to guide the service that we might hear from you. Lord, that you would be highly exalted and lifted up. And that all men would be drawn to you, Lord, for salvation, for a closer walk, and to experience your will for our lives. Bless the service tonight, and we'll praise and thank you, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title tonight of the message is, "That which thou sowest is not quickened except it die." That which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. Now, this chapter really deals with some important things here. Specifically, it's talking about what's going to happen at the rapture concerning the resurrection in our bodies. If we are on this earth, when the Lord takes his church away, there's going to be a transformation that's going to take place in the twinkling of an eye. And Paul is dealing with specifically this future event that's going to take place, but at the same time, he's giving us spiritual insight to our present experience and our present relationship with the Lord. And that's important. You always want to look for that. Every time you open up the Word of God, there is a specific interpretation of the Scripture and the context that's there, but there are many spiritual applications to the Word of God that can meet us where we're at in our relationship with the Lord that will guide us and draw us closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. So I had a professor tell me this one time, Dr. Rick Adams, "End time prophecy is of no value at all if it does not affect our relationship to God in the present." Now, I'm not saying, and the implication is that end time prophecy is of no value. What we are saying is if it doesn't do anything to affect our present relationship with the Lord, we've missed the purpose of really God giving us eternal life in the first place, and that is to change us. He didn't leave us just the way that we are when he saved us. Listen, there is a teaching that has permeated in the early 2000 out west, and I'll just tell you, I'm not trying to bash anybody here, but God did not say, "Come as you are and stay as you are." He did say, "Come as you are, realize the separation because of your sin that have separated you, and I want to forgive you and heal you and change you into my likeness." That's the truth. And listen, unless the Lord shines his light in our life, what is there in our relationship with the Lord? You could play a sport or you could watch a sport on the sidelines. You can be a spectator or a participator. The experience is different in both. The participator is enjoying something that the spectator cannot. And God wants us to participate in our relationship with him. So the message is, when you stop and think about it, what God is trying to do is to give us a greater experience of our salvation in him. That's what he wants to do. If I came up here and I told you, "Oh, let me tell you what God did for George Mueller. Let me tell you what God did for Charles Spurgeon. Let me tell you for what God did to D.L. Moody. Let me tell you what God did to B.H. Carroll. Let me tell you what God did to all these other people," and that's all good and well, but it ought to inspire us to be reminded of God wants to do that in us. When you read the New Testament, be very conscientious of what Paul is saying. Follow me as I follow Christ. And the experience that Paul is wanting the believer to understand is that everything except for the calling of being an apostle, But everything that Paul experienced in his relationship with the Lord is for every believer. And that we might be delivered from our sins and that we might enjoy our relationship with him. And so that is paramount. So I want you to be reminded of this tonight. There is a physical application dealing with the resurrection. There's a spiritual application tonight dealing with our personal walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Both really are spiritual, but tonight we want to focus on our personal walk with the Lord Jesus Christ as we look to this text here tonight. You can look at it and you can say, boy, this is what's going to take place when the rapture takes place, and it will, and it's going to, but God wants us to enjoy our personal walk with him, and he wants to reveal to you and I a better and greater understanding of what takes place. So tonight we're going to look at two things, three thoughts, actually. In last place, that's one point, was God's grace bestowed on you? That's a question. We'll answer that. And then thirdly, I die daily. I die daily. That's a statement that Paul made. So let me ask you this question. Does God do anything in vain? Okay, good answer. Did God create everything with a purpose? Yes. Okay. What is God's ultimate purpose for creation? Well, let me ask you that. What was God's ultimate purpose for creation? How about this? To glorify who? Him, right? To glorify God. That was his whole purpose, that his whole creation would glorify himself. Did God create us with the same purpose? That we might glorify him, to appraise to his glory. Now listen, these are truths that if we're not careful, they're just up here and not in our hearts. They're just in our heads and not here. God's purpose for your salvation, for your creation and salvation, is for his honor and glory. Please don't misunderstand me. Not in the world to come only that's going to do that, but here on earth right now, for his honor and glory, that they might see, the world might see, that we are the sons and daughters of God, and that it would help the world to understand, those that are willing to trust the Lord, they too can have the same relationship that he's given to us, because it's his gift for all. He intended it for all. All right, so God did create us with the same purpose. Did God give every believer what is necessary to fulfill his purpose? And that's a good answer. I appreciate that. Yes, it is. Yes, it's true. He filled us with his spirit. Amen? All right. All great answers that leave us with no excuse. Amen? I was not trying to set you up. I'm trying to help us understand that really there is no excuse for you not to receive the full reward God intended for you. Because God's full reward is not dependent upon your strength. Your full reward, all the crowns that God intended, God's glorifying himself in your life, he never said it's in your hands. He said it's his work, and he will fulfill it. And this is important. Listen, if no other church gets this, may Northwood Baptist Church have that understanding and that beautiful, wonderful relationship that God wants to have with each and every one of his children. That experience that, yes, God, with you, all things are possible. And there's nothing that you can't do, even with me. And so, God, thank you for opening. Thank you for doing that. By the way, God already did that for you. If you're saved, you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior. That's all yours. That's all yours. You just have to dig in that pocket you hadn't looked in a long time, and you'll see it's there, all right? In fact, you don't even have to do that. It's already there, and we need to know it, and God reveal that to us. So let's look at a couple of things. First of all, in last place, let me ask you this. Truly, does anybody like to be in last place? No. If you're not good at running a race, invent a race and say, I won that race. I was the only one running, but no. Nobody likes to be in last place. Nobody likes to be the last person chosen on a team to play a sport. I've had that happen. I've had that happen in my youth. And I was like, oh no, we got to pick teams again. Where can I go hide? Because I know I'm going to be the last one. And you know, inevitably, whatever the case might be, you get picked, and it's almost like the person picking you is getting their teeth pulled or something, you know. What is that? I'm a human being too. But listen, God picks the underdog. God picks the underdog. There's a reason why God picks the underdog. But because the underdog knows himself. The underdog is not going to look to themselves. They have a better chance. Our nature does have a habit of looking to itself. It does. That's our nature. And if you give a little bit of success, boy, keep pride in check. Keep pride in check, because we'll think we're something when we're not. We are here by the grace of God. Amen. You are here. You've made it this far in your walk with the Lord because of the grace of God. Mm-hmm. Satan, the flesh, and the world could have taken you out many times. Should have. But the grace of God kept us in. Mm-hmm. That's the truth of the matter. All right. So, last place. Ready? It's Paul speaking here, right? In fact, let's look at verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Don't have this. So salvation, remember, we looked at last Sunday, work out your own salvation, and then in the very next verse, you can't miss it, it's God who's working it out in your life. Be actively engaged in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a two-person participator, and there's only one person between us and God that wanders away. And I'll give you a clue, it's not God, all right? We need to make sure we're in the place where God can work with us, and that is looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Not looking to ourselves, not looking to our neighbor, not looking to the past, not looking to the future. Looking to Jesus right now. All right? So he says, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I've preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Now listen, we can forget all about this and walk in the world and our salvation be in vanity if we're not in the position where God can bear fruit in our life. Does that make sense? All right. Verse 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. Did you see that? I am delivering to you what I received. Question: is Paul wanting us to have what he received? I delivered to you what I received. I'm giving you what God gave me. All right, now watch this. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That's where faith comes from. And that he was buried and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, whom the greater part remain to this present, but some are fallen asleep. Some were still alive, but most of them went to back and they died, and they're asleep in the Lord. After that, he was seen of James and then of all the apostles. Now watch this. And last of all, this is in last place. And last of all, he was seen of me also, who was one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that I'm not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. I have no right standing to be an apostle of God. Listen, not only was Paul the last one picked, but in all rights, he should have been rejected. The grace of God did not reject him. The grace of God will not reject you and I as well. All right, so this is important. Aren't you glad God's the same yesterday, today, and forever? He doesn't change. So Paul is in last place. And then let me back down here, verse 10, and notice this here. But by the grace of God, don't you love that? I am what I am. And his grace which is bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Did you see that? What was laboring? And see, Paul, listen, there's a reason why God had to quicken or make alive our spirit that was born dead. Listen, Our spirit was made alive, and then we were indwelt with the Holy Spirit. Do you have that? That's important. If you were just indwelt with the Holy Spirit, you have no communication with the Holy Spirit. Because things that are of the flesh are of the flesh, and things that are of the Spirit are of the Spirit. Our spirit had to be made alive. When sin entered in, the spirit of man died. You're going to die. The day that you eat thereof, you're going to die. And the devil says, oh, you'll not surely die. They didn't die physically, but they did die spiritually, didn't they? So God had to quicken, make alive the spirit of man that we might have communication. All right. So now we see here in verse 10 that God's grace was bestowed on the believer. Did you see that? Verse 10. But by the grace of God, remember he said, boy, I'm a misfit. I have no right to be in this position. I should have been left out. And then he says, oh, but by the grace of God. Now watch this. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Man, he took it. He allowed, when I say he took it, he said, all of it, God. I want you to do all of your will in me. I want to believe all of your words that set me free. I want to look to you alone to be what you want me to be. All right? So he says, all we have to do is be willing to allow God to have his will in our lives. All right, now, here's the thought. You remember we spoke about just a moment ago? Paul was giving to the believers at Corinth everything that he had received from the Lord. He says, didn't he say that? We looked at that, right? Okay, so was God's grace bestowed on Paul? Did it say that right there in verse 10? Okay, question. Was God's grace, you answer this one, bestowed on you as a believer? Let me try that again. Was God's grace bestowed on you and I as believers? All right, that's important. That's important. So we receive what Paul received in salvation. The grace of God was also bestowed upon us. And here's what he's wanting us to understand. Ready? I die daily. Look at verse 31. I protest by your rejoicing, which ye have in Christ Jesus our Lord. He says, I die daily. All right? So he says, look, listen, don't look to yourself. He says, understand this important truth. Do you remember the Corinthian church was the church that was having all kinds of problems, all kinds of issues? And then there was pride there too, because you remember there was a group that said, oh, listen, you know, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Peter. And oh boy, you had the real spiritual group that said, oh, we'd be of Jesus. Just him. We don't hear that, not understanding that the word of God that was being proclaimed by the apostles, the written word, was guess who from? They missed it. And Paul had to straighten them out. Hey, we're just ministers. Don't make big about individuals. It's God that's doing the work. Okay. So with that said, he says, I die daily. And he says, look, I protest about your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. And he says, I die daily. Now, why do you think he said that? Okay, well, let's look at this. Look at verse 32. If after the manner of men I have fought with beast at Ephesus, what advantageth it me if the dead rise not? Why am I doing what I'm doing if there's no resurrection? He says, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. That's he saying, that ought to be the attitude of this life. Just get all you can all you get, and sit on the lid. That makes no sense at all. All right, but that's what the world thinks. He says this now, ready? Verse 33, be not deceived. Can you guess what that means in the Greek? Be not deceived. That's what it means. All right. Don't be deceived. Why would he be saying that to believers who are filled with the Holy Spirit? Because children of God, believers filled with the Holy Spirit, can be deceived. And I dare say, and I'm afraid to say, in a sad state, that the church today, believers, are deceived. They've got their eyes on the wrong thing. All right? And then he says this, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Is that true? All right. Now, what does he say? Verse 34, awake. Well, the church is asleep. Awake. To what? Whose righteousness? We need to look at our life, and if the righteousness of God in our thought life, in our actions, in what we say, in our heart, do not line up with the Word of God, shame, 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 we stay asleep if we say, well, it's all under grace. It's all under grace. Is that how God wants to see it? Or is he saying, hey, listen, I've come to give you life. What kind of life? Abundant life. And that abundant life is not found in us. In order for you and I to have that life, we've got to die how often? All right? So watch this. He says, verse 34, awake to righteousness, oh, and sin not. Don't make excuses for it. For some have not, look at this, some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. That's a sad state of affairs. So what's the answer? Ready? Back up with me here to verse 31. He says, I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus, our Lord, I die daily. He's giving them the answer. Their rejoicing is not the same. They're rejoicing about what they have, what they don't, what they know, who they listen to, all the problems. And he says, I'm protesting by, listen, what I have is in the Lord Jesus Christ. So what is it that we should have? We should have the things that God has given to us that are in him. So he says, I die daily. And then he goes on and he tells them, he says that verse 36, thou fool, he says, what he's saying is, you're being foolish in thinking that what you have is of God. Listen, they had a sense of pride. Listen, believers, and I'll just tell you, I've been guilty of doing this myself. What I did and what I did not do was a measure of my spirituality. No, really, it was a measure of my carnality. And I would look, I'm just telling you, and you don't have to tell me if you've ever done this or not. What I did, as far as believers were concerned, what I did for the Lord became my righteousness. What I didn't do because of the Lord, oh, and you would look and say, what an exemplary life. Oh, the heart was wrong. Oh, the heart was so wrong. But it's equally as wrong for the person who's maybe not judging, but living a life of failure in their spiritual life. Saved child of God, they love the Lord, but there's no victory. And here's what they're saying. Well, you know, I just can't. Well, we know that. None of us can. But we're missing the ingredient, and that is we must die that Christ might live. We must yield our life to the Lord that he might live his life through us. And here's all we have to do. Lord, do that in me. Ask him, and we'll receive it. And believe, and walk in that truth. Walk in that truth. I've used this illustration in the past. If you found a $50 bill in your pocket that's yours, would you have to ask somebody or pray about using it if you wanted to buy something? No, you would just spend it. Right? God has given you his life for his honor and glory to use. Isn't that amazing? All right, so here it is. Ready? He says, be not deceived, verse 33. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness. This is present tense. He's not telling them to do this in the future, although you'll find a lot of things here that are talking about what's going to happen in the rapture. Paul is speaking to the believer right now. Awake to righteousness. And notice, and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. But some men will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. Now, it is speaking about the physical body. But didn't Paul just back us up and say, I die daily in verse 31? Listen, there is a connection, the present, to what's going to happen in the future. And the reason why there's a resurrection in the future is because of the grace of God and the mercy of God that we've been given right now for the glory of God. So here's the connection. Ready? God has given to us eternal life that he wants to live out. Not just a home in heaven. He wants that life in our life today until we see him face to face. He wants his life in our life until we see him. And he wants that life to grow and to overcome and to deliver us from our sins. So when we see the failure, we're not just saved by the grace of God. That's that little red light that comes on. Don't knock it out with a ball peen hammer. You know, the little light that says oil. It's too late, but when that little light comes on, it says there's a problem. Take care of it. How do we take care of it? God, we need you. I need you. And I want to believe your word. You've already done this. Let me walk in your truth. Help me to understand it in my mind and in my heart that it's already been done, and I want to walk in your word. I want to walk in what you've already given to me. If listen, when you read what God has done in your life and mine, it's already happened. It's already happened. Never once does he say, have a special prayer meeting and fasting and pray that this will take place. It happened at salvation. Just God, illuminate that to my understanding that I might walk in that. Listen, wake me up, Lord. He says, awake to righteousness in verse 34. Awake. The implication is there that they're asleep. Judging by the lives and judging by our society, because remember, if we judge according to the word of God, the first century church, what kind of church was it? Did they turn the world upside down? Isn't that what the Bible says? They turned the world upside down. Well, has God changed? Today, where's the church at? Awake unto righteousness. The first part is seeing that and saying, yes, God. Man, Lord, as I look at our country, listen, I could have told you this 20 years ago. It's the same. It's gotten worse, but it's no better. Do you follow me? I am not saying this because of any administration. I would have told you this 20 years ago. We are in spiritual decline. We are in spiritual decline. And have been for longer than 20 years. We've been in spiritual decline. Oh God, do a work. And here's how it has to happen. You know what yes, Lord, send revival out there somewhere. No. Right here with me. Amen? And then Northwood Baptist Church. And then Columbia, Missouri. And then the United States. And then the whole world. God's word has the ability to turn the world upside down if God's people, which are called by his name, will humble themselves and call upon God and say, yes, God, we've got a problem, and you're the only one that can fix it. Amen? Amen. Let me say that again. We have a problem, and only God can fix it. Amen. Let's ask him. Let's pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the reminder, for your word, Lord, for the Holy Spirit that convicts us of what we need and what you want, Lord, in our lives. I pray, Lord, that you would do a work in my life and then, Lord, in the lives of our membership here at Northwood Baptist Church, that we might be found faithful. And then, Lord, for our city and for our state and for our country and, Lord, for the world, because that's what you gave yourself for. Help us, Lord, to call upon you. And Lord, to believe the things that you've already given to us, that we might walk in them and that you might be glorified. Bless the rest of the service, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.